Many are saying, "Oh, that we might see better times." These are words we sang in today's psalm, verse 6. Many are saying, "Oh, that we might see better times." These words resonated with me. One of the things I do each morning is to read the morning's newspaper. And through the course of this week, I thought several times, "Oh, that we might see better times." There were several headlines that caused me to think this week. First, I read about those fleeing the civil war in Syria and how the United States is being asked to resettle 120,000, a small fraction of the more than 4 million people who have fled that war-torn country. Thursday was Holocaust Remembrance Day, the day we recall the 6 million members of the Jewish community who were killed. It's also the 100th anniversary of the Armenian genocide, when between 1 and 1.5 million people were killed. And the Pope and Turkey were arguing, is it genocide or is it not? And then Episcopal News Service had a story of Anglicans fleeing Yemen, which is in the grip of civil war. Oh, that we might see better times. The news seems full of horrible stories. One contemporary commentary I read said this: "Today we live in a world of war, poverty, disease, neglect, prejudice, fear, isolation, and sinfulness. God seems powerless and absent in the face of ongoing suffering and pain. Would that God would act to alleviate all this suffering, to rectify these systems of injustice." And I think when we hear all this news, it can be hard not to fall into a sense of despair or fear, to withdraw into our own worlds, to feel these are such overwhelming and large problems. What can I possibly do about them? That sense of fear, of isolation, of withdrawing, we hear about in our lessons today, particularly in our gospel. The disciples are in Jerusalem, and some things have happened, but they're not really sure what is going on. There have been reports that Jesus appeared to the women and to Peter. Then, that afternoon, two people were walking to the town of Emmaus, and Jesus appeared to them. They didn't first recognize him, but he talked with them. He opened their hearts to the scriptures, and their hearts were burning within them. And then he stayed with them for a meal, and he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And then they knew it was Jesus, and he vanished from their sight. They now have gathered in Jerusalem to talk about the day's events, to talk about what some have experienced and wonder what is going on. Jesus, in the midst of this conversation, appears to them. He is in the room with them. And though we might think there be rejoicing, they in fact are startled and terrified. They are afraid they are seeing a ghost. In the first century, there was real fear about ghosts, about people coming from the tomb and visiting, and people lived in fear that this would happen. So this fear of seeing a ghost is real for them. Frankly, I'm not sure I want to see a ghost now. So they are startled and they are terrified. Jesus responds to what they are feeling and says, "Peace be with you." He meets them right where they are and bestows his peace on them. And then he says, "Look and touch. It is I. Here I am in flesh and bone." They can see the scars on his hands and feet. They're free to touch him and see that he has corporeal presence. He is real and alive. And then just to bring the point home, he asks if they have anything to eat. And they give him broiled fish, and he eats it. A ghost certainly can't have flesh and bone, and a ghost certainly can't eat. So slowly they begin to realize this is Jesus. He is risen from the dead. But they still are bewildered. Jesus, though he has risen from the dead, though he has the body that he once had, though now raised from the dead, he has changed. He suddenly appears in locked rooms. He suddenly disappears. It seems he can be in many locations within a short span of time. Something clearly has changed. I find it interesting the disciples didn't do what I might do, which is to ask many and detailed questions about this thing called resurrection. Tell me about what happened. What is this body you have? How are you doing this? Where have you been since we laid you in the tomb on Friday? But they don't do that. Instead, they see Jesus, they listen to him, and slowly they begin to realize he's raised from the dead. They move beyond their fright to believing, and they come to rejoice. And Jesus offers them just what they need in that moment to believe. In fact, we're told that after he shows them he is not a ghost, that it really is he, then he opens their hearts to the scriptures, just as he did to those two on the road to Emmaus, and talks to them about the prophecies in Hebrew scripture, which point out that Jesus, the Messiah, will come, will be crucified, and will be raised. That this is God's plan of salvation and salvation for the whole world. That forgiveness of sins is offered to all. All are offered a new life to become a new creation. Offered a new relationship with God through Jesus. And only then, only at that time, after allaying their fear, after opening their minds and hearts to Scripture, does Jesus then commission them, get out of this room, go out from behind these locked doors and go out into the world. You are my witnesses. Go and witness to what you have seen and heard. Tell all about the resurrection. In our first lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, a book we always read from for our lesson in Eastertide, we have that same sense. Peter says, "To this we are witnesses. To the resurrection of Jesus we have become witnesses and we're taking this news out into the world." This is after the day of Pentecost has come. The Spirit has filled them and they have left that locked room. They have left behind their fear and they are now out in the world living resurrection life. What we don't hear in today's lesson is what comes before, what precipitates this sermon that Peter preaches. And what happens is Peter and John are going to the temple as they do each day, and they come to the beautiful gate. And they see a man there who is lame, who has been lame from birth. And he is asking for alms to support himself, and people are giving him money. Peter goes up to him and says, "Look at me. I don't have gold or silver," Peter says, "but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, walk." And the man stands up and walks. He leaps. He praises God. His life is changed. There are crowds there, and they see this happening. And they wonder, what is this? This is not how life works. If you're born lame, you stay lame. Something amazing has happened. And they think that Peter and John have power in themselves to do this work. But Peter is clear. It's not about Peter. It's not about John. This happened because of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This man walks because of the name of Jesus. It is the risen Lord who healed this man. It is the risen Lord who is still at work in the world. And the disciples, full of the Holy Spirit, are now doing works in his name. Some of the very things that he himself did. They have been totally transformed, moving beyond their fear and out into the world. The crowd's amazed at this. How can this be? How can it be that a man who is lame has been healed? And Peter is telling them it is God's power to act, even doing the unexpected, even healing a man who has been lame. Jesus commissions his followers to declare the power of God in the midst of suffering, of tragedy, of pain, even in the face of death. For the reality is, in the resurrection, none of these things has ultimate power, not even death itself. God is our ultimate power. Though Jesus died, God raised him on the third day, destroying death once for all. God's love is stronger than anything humanity can do, than anything we can perpetrate, than evil, hatred, murder, even death. And And Jesus is raised with his wound, showing us that though he suffered, God has transformed that suffering, raising him to glory. It is the same Jesus who died. We can move through suffering like Jesus and be redeemed, be sustained and supported and brought through it to the other side. For with God, nothing is impossible. God is with us in all things. We can let go of our fear, trust God, and move through those difficult times. So Peter and John have left behind that fear, left behind the locked room, and gone out into the world proclaiming all that God has done. It's not always easy. Immediately after this sermon we heard this morning, Peter and John are thrown in prison, which happens several times in the Acts of the Apostles. But they are set free from that fear of what will happen to them. They're set free of their need for security. They trust God. And in fact, several times God miraculously releases them from prison. Although ultimately we know Peter will pay with the price of his life. But he knows that God is with him and sustains him and will raise him at the last day. Just like those first followers of Jesus, we are called also to go. We are commissioned through the power of the Holy Spirit to go into the world and to do likewise. To go into the world, proclaim Christ crucified and resurrected. To not give in to the fear around us. To not think there's nothing we can do. And to trust that God will sustain us as we undertake proclaiming this good news. For God is with us in all things. So on this third Sunday of Easter, I wonder, what fears hold us captive? What fears hold us back from acting? From what do we need to be released that we might be witnesses to the resurrection, that we might go outside these walls and proclaim to the world Jesus crucified and resurrected? Where are we being sent? To whom are we being sent with this good news? Who would Jesus have you and me tell about the power of the resurrection? And what is this good news that we are commissioned to tell the world? The reality is Jesus did not bring his disciples security, but he set them free from all that binds them, sets them free from their fears, and brings them into a new place, a place where his peace reigns, where even our ultimate foe death has been conquered. The reality is that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have been given new life, eternal life. And so like those early disciples, may we be set free of our fears, of what restricts and binds us, and trust God, that we also might risk everything as witnesses of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Amen.